This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman in Tower. Tonight on the show, in judgment, in peace, in all things, God will always have such as this, the called, the remnant, those who love their God through Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 12th day of January, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 6, starting at verse 2, through chapter 9, verse 35, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 25, through chapter 29, verse 21. The New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 51. To check out the latest articles by The Watchman and the latest shows, the current Warn Radio show segments, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The night is far spent in America. A message for you from The Watchman. Included in this are seven paramount truths for Christians in these last days. In America, there are works of darkness, and as the children of light, we must cast off all the works of the darkness and put on the armor of light. We work in the night, having the light of the world in our hearts. The conspiracy behind the conspiracies, and there are lots of them. Even leaders of nations, governments, in your Twitter feed discuss them. I am speaking of the conspiracies behind the conspiracies. No doubt you have heard of them, from Waco, Barack Obama, 9/11, and Ruby Ridge. The kind of things controlled by people who do pretty much what they want. We have three Twitter sites, accounts, three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. You can go to those and follow us, check out what's going on. You can listen to all the shows on our warn-usa.com blog and front page. You can hear us on TuneIn, Google+, Google Play Music, LinkedIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, Apple TV, Android TV on Google Play, Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, Samsung TV, and there's going to be more to come. And get our Remnant Battle Lines app through the link on the front of warn-usa.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. It's Friday, and it's nice to be with everybody for Sound the Shofar.
Yes, another week down, and we are 3 days from the middle of January. We were talking about that the other day. It's just hard to believe how fast this thing zips by.
I know. It's already almost the middle. It's crazy.
But, you know, I mean, and I've said this for years, you know, when we get to December, we get through December, it always goes fast, the holidays, from Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas. Then New Year's, and January, even though it's 31 days, it usually goes pretty fast, but January, you know, you get through January, that's about the longest, maybe the slowest, but it does seem to go by fast. And then you get to February, and February is short month, and so that really goes fast. So before you know it, you're in March, and March signals spring. But unfortunately, in our neck of the woods, that also means huge spring storms and cold and wet.
Yep.
You know, by the time you get through January and you get into February, your winter is getting over. You don't have that much. It's still going to, it can still be cold all the way into May, but even close to June. So, you know, that's just where we're at. We can get cold.
You know, the thing about time going fast that I am okay with, it's just one day closer to the Lord.
Yeah,
and
I know.
His coming.
You know, it seems like I missed one of the articles I did this week, because the one that you were doing is an older one. And it's,
yeah, well, I was going to go back to, let me see.
Because it seems the conspiracy, yeah, I must have deleted the wrong
one. Yeah, you did.
So at any rate, I mean, I don't have that here.
Too busy to hear thy salvation cometh.
Yeah, that's the one.
The Lord is proclaimed to the end of the world, thy salvation cometh. Isaiah 62. So you can go read that article on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com.
Yeah, we've got a lot of these that we're doing, and I've always had a lot of those on site. These are really in-depth, and this latest one I've done, this message, it talks about the time of the night, and, you know, you need to go get that, read that article, really, seriously. So go on over to our websites and send this around to your friends, and you know, pretty much these articles are for people who appreciate this kind of thing. I mean, they're hard-headed, they're hard-hitting, they're full of the Word of God, they're prophetic, biblical. I've been writing them for years, and this one's particularly poignant and particularly to the point, and speaks of the time of the night, and it has a lot of things in there that can help you in this time of night, the lawlessness that we live in. So go there. Also, check out the book Steal the Darkness, and you know, we do have it on Kindle and Nook as well, and if you have a bookstore, they can order it in from Ingram. Steal the Darkness, and of course it's prophecy. And it's biblical, it's a thriller, it's mystery, it has interdimensional beings in it, it has angels in it has aliens, it has saucers, it has a Jewish prophet in it, it has a whole cast of characters, and they all come together to fight a conspiracy on a global scale. So this is just the first book in the four book series. So check it out.
It's a fun read. I enjoyed it. The way it left off left it open for more to come, and I'm anxious to read the second book, Dana.
Yep. And if you haven't got the book, get the book. And if you don't want to buy the paperback, get the Kindle or the Nook. And I also have some of these left here, and I was relating this on my little, what do you call it, my advertisement thing that I do for 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, in the middle, before I do the shows, I tell you what's featured on. And see, I've got a number of books left, and I've got them here, I ship them out from here. But if you want a book, I only have a certain amount of those, you need to go over to the website. Go to danaglennsmith.com, get on the contact form, send me an email saying you want one of these books. I'll send you an email and let you know how you can get it. I need to have a good current address. And, of course, this I'm going to be shipping it out, and I'll need your phone number and the whole nine yards, and it's $10 plus shipping. And that's about as good a deal as I can do, but because the only reason I can do that, I've got these here and they're for this. So I will dedicate it to you, write whatever you want into it, and I'll sign it, and all these books are worth more when you have the author's signature on them. So if you want it, you need to go to our websites. And if you can't find DanaGlynnSmith.com, go to Warren-USA.com and send me a contact email from there. That's all I can tell you to do, you know. And for those of you who do have the book, we thank you for getting the book. And also for those who we have sent a bunch out to, we want you to read those books. And when you get done, go on over to Amazon to our book page on Amazon and leave a comment about the book. And if you don't know where it is, email me and I'll send you a place. But you need to go there and you'll need to have an account, I believe, in order to leave a comment. But we want to have some comments on there because that helps the book. And I know it's hard to leave comments, and a lot of people don't like to do it, but do me a favor and get a comment on there, and we'll go from there. So we thank you for all of that, let's see, what else news? Well, there is some news, but I ain't going to go into it because, to be honest with you, as the stomach turns. You remember that old...
Yeah, I remember. As the world turns something, was that it?
Yeah, as the world turns, and we used to call it as the stomach turns. And, of course, it was when I was a Christian. Was a Christian. I am a Christian. But when I first became a Christian, that was still going on. We would call it as the stomach turns or churns. You can use the word churns too, as the stomach churns, because a lot of the stuff that's out there just churns your gut. It's just no good.
It does.
No good to listen to, no good to talk about. It's just a bunch of liberal fodder. And of course, if you're trying to keep track of Trump, do yourself a favor. I mean, this guy's a billionaire. I mean, this guy has more money than you'll probably ever see in your lifetime. At least he did before he became president. What I'm getting at is that this is a guy who sits atop Trump Tower with floors that, last I heard from some articles by the Secret Service, the news had gotten out, they had to take their shoes off because of the floor and all the gold fixtures and all the rest of it. I don't know. I haven't been there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to live on Trump Tower. That's not my design in life. I have no desire to do it. I just soon go camping and fishing. So, but at any rate, the bottom line of it is that this guy could, you know, has always been able to do pretty much what he wanted to do and how he said it and everything, you know. And the only reason he got in there is because he's a businessman, period. And people liked what he said about turning the country around, making it great. That's what he's up there for. And, I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you who he is. I read on Gatestone, they says, don't get mad at Trump. Just answer him. You know, just answer him, you know, because if he ask a question in a way you don't like it, just say, well, this is the answer, President. But at any rate, I don't worry about what Trump does because I've got enough problems worrying about, I don't worry about it, but you get my drift. I'm not going to worry about Trump. I'm not going to worry about the Congress. They're big boys. If they screw it up, it's screwed up. And
it is.
Our government was screwed up long before Trump got up there. I mean, give me a break. It's not like you have a Lincoln log house and you throw gas on it and burn it down. I mean, it does have some foundation up there, and there are a few people, I think, that have some sense. But
I don't know. A few, yeah.
Yeah, well, at any rate, I'm not going to go there, and I'm tempted, but I'm not going to. I'm not even tempted because it's just, I'm not interested. Just really not. I've done my news show. That was Thursday night. I'm not going to do
Wednesday.
It.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Well, I did it Thursday night on a Wednesday.
Okay, whatever.
I've been doing a three-hour show for a long time with one of our Prophecy News on Thursday, and now Tara's got me all Tower's got me all messed up now. So now we're doing it. We're doing it on Wednesday, and we have had some feedback on our new show that we're looking at doing, and that's on health, and that's because a lot of people need this kind of information that we want to share. And we're not sure exactly how we're going to do it. We'll do it through Spreaker, more than likely. But we do have a thinking about putting a group on our one page over on Facebook, and also putting the posts up over on our Get Healthy Young Living, because I'm not going to put these things on Warren USA, because this is totally a different ball of wax. This is about health, and our website, Get Healthy Young Living, that's a website that we do that on. I don't get as much posts on it as I would like to, but you know, we are looking at that. We're looking at having a whole new subject matter for a show on Spreaker. And so that's pretty much what we're looking at. But right now, we've got to see how everything goes, because we're right in the middle of marketing, getting the book and doing all that and doing a bunch of other stuff. So it may take us a while to get this going. But it's going to probably be a short one to begin with, 30 minutes, half-hour podcast that Tower and I will do in our spare time. And we will talk about essential oils. We will talk about lectins. We will talk about a lot of foods that you should eat, you should not eat, dietary, how you eat, wellness, you know, natural cures, just a lot of things like that. Of course, we're going to have a disclaimer, you know, so, you know, at any rate, we do have a disclaimer on all of our websites, but especially on Get Healthy Young Living, we do have a disclaimer concerning health and healing and all the rest of that stuff, because we're not doctors. We're doing things to help us feel better. And
it's amazing. It's worked.
Yeah, and it has worked. And we're not there yet, but we're getting there, and we want to share the journey with you. And I know over the years there's been a number of our listeners that have had health problems and things, and we want to just share this. We want to get input. We want you to be able to leave us comments. We want you to join the group that we're going to put up, and we also have all new email lists on all three of our websites, so you go to the websites and sign up to whichever one you want to. Of course, Warren USA is our biggest site. It's been going for the longest, and we got a lot of hits on Warren USA, and so that list has already started growing with this new one. But we do have some others. We haven't had a chance to work on those, but at any rate, check this stuff out. And let me see. We're going to get going on this teaching here. Do you got anything else that you want to?
No, I sure don't. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yep, have a great weekend. We're going to get going. I'm going to get going on this right now.
Okay.
Okay, this is Sound of the Trumpet, Part 6, The Remnant. And I love to talk about The Remnant. And Michael Lake, who was on, and I had sent him a copy of the book and everything, and he sent me back an email that he says, I pray that all the remnant read your book. And he is a guy that we have covered him. We've had him on, him and his wife both, him and Mary. We've interviewed him. That's been some time ago. I don't do a lot of interviews myself personally, and I don't have many people on anymore. I'm too busy writing and doing our shows. We're not really into that, but we will take an interview now and again. And I mentioned Michael Lake because he in his two books talk in depth about the remnant. You know, there's a lot of things coming. And those things I write about in this latest article that I did concerning the time of the night. And I address the fact that the time of the night is approaching. It's in America right now, but it's not in its fullness. So I suggest, this is very prophetic. This is a very important message I have for you. So you go on over, if you would, to either one of our websites, danaglensmith.com or warren-usa.com, and you'll find it there. You know, if you want to get on some of the social sites that I'm on, I just opened this up on, what is it? I'm trying to think. Pinterest, is that the one? I can't remember. It's the one where you put the pictures up. And then, of course, our LinkedIn, we had a big increase in people that have connected to us professionally on LinkedIn. And so Facebook, we have a number of pages. Any one of these, you can interact with us. So check all these out. You can also go to our websites. But see, it's all about, you know, getting through this, getting prepared for this, not being caught off guard, being ready for this, standing tall, standing true to the Lord, being faithful. That's what this is about. You know, that's why we teach. That's why we preach. We are fulfilling prophecy. We're fulfilling the Word of God right now as I speak. Because this message, because this Warren radio show goes around the world, and we do it. We have been doing it now. We're in our 20th year. But Tower and I go way back to the mid-70s. We've been on this journey for the Lord for a lot of years. And it was just in... It was, some 20, actually more than 20 years ago that the Lord had called me out again to do this end time ministry. And this is specifically what I was called for, really, because I had a lot of things that were revealed to me as a young man. And a lot of things that I didn't understand, and so it had to come over time. But see, let's look at Jeremiah 4, 20 and 21. Now, Jeremiah, of course, is warning Judah. And he says, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? How long is judgment going to go on? How long is the watchman going to be blowing the trumpet? Because when you have been overrun, the sound of the trumpet stops. You see, when the enemy has entered your gates, when he's thrown down your curtains, when he's destroyed your tents, or he's taken over all of your buildings, he's brought down your king, he's entered into the tabernacle, he's taken the high priests and slaughtered them, the prophets, they've all gone into, they start going into captivity. The armies have surrounded, the armies have entered in through the gates, and see, there's no more sound of the trumpet. And so we have a sound of the trumpet, and we blow it for our Sound the Shofar program, just to remind you that on this program. But when you stop hearing the sound of the trumpet, that means it's over, folks. It's done with. And it won't be our trumpet, it won't be our shofar blowing, it will be somebody else's echoing victory over the enemy. And there are a lot of enemies out there. So when we talk about the trumpet, when we talk about that sound and that warning, and now we're discussing the remnant, there is always a remnant. And in judgment, there is always God, always, let me tell you, he always is in the restoration business and bringing people back. And the judgment came on Judah because they failed to listen to this God. They had rejected him. They were serving other gods, doing abominations. It got so bad that he told Jeremiah not to pray for him. It got so bad that he said that if Moses and Abraham, I think it was Abraham, stood before me, all they could do is save their own souls, and they couldn't intercede. I'm trying to think. I can't remember exactly if it was Abraham and Moses or not. But at any rate, there is a scripture where the Lord talks to Jeremiah about that. You can look it up on your thing. But at any rate, this is the bottom line, and it's redemptive. because if God was to let Judah go, nobody would be redeemed. There wouldn't be a remnant. So there wound up to be a remnant, and after 70 years, they did return, and God raised up Cyrus, you know, a Persian king who overran Babylon, took it over. Daniel was still there at the time, and Daniel even knew about all this, and Daniel was watching. He was an important figure in the restoration of all this. And then you go to Lamentations, you know, and this is particularly poignant, and that's why I wanted to put it in here, because, folks, there's a lot of people over the years that I have heard warn about judgment, believe you me. Some of them are alive, some of them are dead. I have interviewed a lot of them. I've talked with them in depth. But, you know, the people that are serious and seriously in tune with the Lord to have gotten a message of judgment like that in all of its truth, they are never happy about declaring judgment on a nation that they live in and they love. Now, Jeremiah would not have taken joy in declaring judgment on his nation. And, you know, every time he preached, he had enemies. He had people that backed him, but he had the priests and the prophets and even the political establishment and the king. They, over time, they all turned against him, and they didn't want to hear his message. It was gut-wrenching. At one time, he tried to quit. God told him to repent, you know, and he was thrown in the dungeon. And in Jeremiah 30, you can read some of the stuff that he learned while he was in some of his despair and what God said he was going to do. It's a poignant story. And anybody that comes in here and starts yammering and is glad that judgment's coming, then these people are no remnant, no friend of God, because God does not delight in the death of wicked. He does not delight in damnation. He does not delight in hell. He does not delight in destroying America, which he has blessed. He did not delight in bringing down Judah. He had not delight in bringing down Israel, whom he judged as well. But when it's all said and done, there's people that are still alive, there's people that are dead, and 9 times out of 10, the wicked are the first ones to get killed. There is a remnant. And so now, as we read in Lamentations, and this is the first chapter, and Lamentations is exactly what Lamentations is. It's when you have a broken heart, you have lost everything, and you're sitting, and your city's in ashes. The wall is down. And in this case, you know, the temple is destroyed. The priest, the prophet, you know, and all the religious paraphernalia is gone. The king has been deposed and brought down, and everybody's gone into captive. And you have some poor that are still maintaining the city, some of the poor. Are still maintaining the fields, and that's what they will do. They will leave them there, and they will also push intermarriage in order to dilute the Jewish line. That's really what they did up in Israel, and that's why Israel, the Lost Tribes, is known as the Lost Tribes. That's the northern tribes, the Lost Tribes of Israel. We call it Israel, we call it Ephraim. It's the 10 tribes that wound up lost, as it's said today. There are a few of them around, a few people around from different tribes, but for the most part, they're lost. So now in Lamentations, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations, and princess among the province, how has she become tributary to Babylon now? Now, you see, the thing of it is that it's so sad because, see, David is known as the warrior king. Now, Joshua, when he comes back, is coming back as a greater son of David, and even as the warrior king, not just the Messiah, not just the one coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years, but he is the warrior king. He is of the line and lineage of David, and he is coming back, and he will sit upon the throne in for 1,000 years he'll sit on that throne fulfilling prophecy, Davidic prophecy, and what God promised him, among other prophecies. But after David, of course, Solomon. But, you know, David made it possible for Solomon to live in peace. And it was at that time that Israel rose to the ranks of one of the greatest nations and most powerful nations on the face of the earth under Solomon. And God poured his blessing into them at that time, into Israel. And Solomon was the head one. And he was known worldwide, renowned for his wisdom that God has given him. And he was building a temple for God, absolutely unparalleled in his day, that the way he built it and put it together. Now, see, unfortunately, in the latter part of that, he fell away from God, and God divided the nation into Judah and into Israel, which was the 10 tribes. And, of course, Judah and Benjamin and the Levites, and of course the temple itself remained as one, you know, the southern tribe known as Judah, and Israel was the 10 tribes. And of course they didn't have the temple, so they got in a lot of trouble themselves, a lot of trouble. And so the trouble for them goes way back. And see here, when we look at chapter 1 of Lamentations, you know, Judah and Jerusalem was still revered at the time, even after the split between Israel and Judah for the judgment. But make no mistake, the biggest was under Solomon when they were united as one. And then when he sinned, God divided the kingdom in judgment. Now you see, so the judgment, when you read verse 1 of this, you look back and you can see not just Judah, not just Judah, but you can see Israel, and Israel meaning the lost tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes that had the other portion of that. And then you also see when they were united as one. And there are prophecies about them coming together again and being one. And that's really what the Jews hope for today in Israel. And so you can see someone sitting here at the edge of the city, or in this case, we can remember along the river that ran next to Babylon where they sat. This, you can find this in Ezekiel. That's where he starts his book. He said among the captives, and you could see them sitting there. And you see someone riding, but this one here, you get the picture that they're not over, you know, where Ezekiel was at this time. They're still sitting outside of the city after it had been destroyed. And the smoke is spiraling up out of the city. All the walls have been destroyed. The temple is totally removed, smashed. All the holy things are gone. The king's palace is totally torn apart. The king and all the princes are gone. There are carcasses and bodies laying everywhere. The army is gone. They're dead or in captive and chains now. And so they're looking around, and there's no prosperity left. There's no life left. It's dead. It's a city that was the city of God. It was a city where anybody in the world could find the Lord. All they had to do is go to Judah in the temple, and the Jews represented the God of Israel. But see, they had turned from the God of Israel. And so God did this because they, first of all, they didn't think God would ever do this, because guess what? They're a big nation and they have the temple of God. He wouldn't judge them, but he did judge them. And he did remove his own temple. He did remove his name from it because it was being defamed by the sins of Judah. So Lamentations goes on. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheek. Among all of her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All of her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they are become her enemies. Now see, anybody that was friends to Judah before this aren't even around. Now, that's because Babylon was very, very powerful, and nobody, including Egypt, would mess with Babylon. They might try, but they would lose. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had been given the power to do a lot of this stuff. And, of course, they eventually themselves got judged, including Nebuchadnezzar. So you see here that someone is sitting beside the city. It's solitary. It was full of people, but it's desolate. People are sitting around. There's bodies still laying around. There's fires that are smoking. You have the enemy all around. There's rejoicing in the camp of the enemy because they took Judah down. All the goods have been pillaged. And, of course, into the night, the captives, the Jews, are sitting there weeping sore. And even the city itself is so pathetic now, it's as if it is crying itself. And so there's no friends around to comfort Israel. There's no friends to comfort Judah. Even the northern tribe has been destroyed. There is no northern tribe anymore. Now, with Judah being destroyed, the Jews have been wiped away from their second part of their inheritance in the land. They lost it because they fell away from God. And now they're going to be carried away into captivity for 70 years, according to Jeremiah. Daniel found that out, and he knew that it was the end of that 70 years, and that's where we pick up some of his story at. So to make a long story short, God indeed did bring back a remnant out of that from Babylon. Now see, I'm speaking to you, O Christian, today. Now see, that's what God did to his people. And if you as a Christian turn from the living God, if you turn away from that which God has given us, and he gave it through his Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who gave it to his apostles, who gave it to the early church, and the early church spread. If you get away from the true Bible, the Word of God, and the message of the gospel, you're going to be found wanting. You can't change it. Verse 3, it says, Judah has gone into captivity because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All of her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. See, life is not what it was. There is no more feasts of the Lord. There is no more celebrations. There is no more temple. There is no more women that are able to walk freely on the streets of Jerusalem and all of their fineries and think life is good. And there's no friendly nations because Israel, you know, at this time, Judah does not exist. Everything's gone. The women are in captive chains, or they're going to be servants, and some of them will be made sexual servants. They will be made, you know, to do things they don't want to do, and this is what happens. And I'm telling you that when God gives a nation over to their enemies, you do not want to see it. And if this nation had any sense about it at all, it would turn to the Lord God. They would forget about other gods. But there's no way this nation is going to do it, because the whore of Babylon, the spirit of Babylon, has thoroughly taken over the whore that we find in Revelation 17. The ways of Zion do mourn. Ah, that is so sad. Zion is that place of heaven, that place of joy. And see, you and I wait for Zion, and Zion to us is heaven, the presence of the Lord. And, you know, we look to that. Now, for the Jews, Jerusalem was very important. God said he had chosen Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very important, even today. And it's important to a lot of people and a lot of religions and a lot of faiths. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Now see, there you go. That's the transgressions. You know, I have said this a lot, my friends. You know, if God did this to his people, then why, oh, why do we think that he would stop at judging America or any other nation for their sins? And I have talked about this time and time and time again. God judged his people twice, the northern tribes, the lost tribes of Israel, and Judah. He overthrew them and ran them out of their land. But the Gentile nations, he, throughout the Bible, we find him judging time and again the Gentile nations. So all this, you know, there's a lot of those people that say, well, God won't judge this nation because, you know, he judged Israel because they were a theocracy. And I've pointed out time and time again, till I'm weary of saying it, that God judged more Gentile nations who did not know this God than he did his own people. It was one of those lessons that Israel had to come to know. Now, see, Israel is in the land, and they are surrounded by enemies. And they've only got one friend, and that's Donald Trump, and he sits there just by the very grace of God, I'm telling you. Because Trump is, you know, he's Trump. He's always going to be Trump. He's not Jesus Christ. He's not a savior of anybody. He is just a man that happens to be a businessman and very, very wealthy who thought he could do some good. But he also backed Israel, and he's done a few things that we agree with. But make no mistake, no man, no power is going to save America. And no power is going to take America down until God is ready. See, this is the thing about judgment. Although I have preached judgment, and I've told you that it's coming, the timing is in the hands of the Lord. And also, that means that while other things may happen, nothing's going to be happening to destroy it before God is ready. Because he does have a people here, and he does have people that he wants to get ready. Now, see, the children of Israel were not ready in Judah. They weren't ready. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, and unfortunately today we have a lot of the church that won't listen either. So in a lot of ways, it's alike. It really is. But, you know, we are not Judah. You know, and when this thing comes, you're not even going to want to be here. God help us. And from the daughter of Zion, this is verse 6, all of her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture. They are gone without strength before the pursuer. In other words, you know, when the armies fight, and of course, in the prophets, we find them referred to as young lions. And that's the armies, the young men that fought for Israel. And you can apply that to any army, have the young lions, the young, strong, you know, that's who are there. Makes up their army. They call them prophetically, it's called the young lions. And see, when judgment hits, you're going to find a lot of widows because the men are killed. The young men are destroyed. There aren't no young men left. They flee if they're not dead or they're taken captive. There's nothing left. The food will be pillaged. There will be no escape. And see, that's the biggest thing you have to understand, is that when God sends judgment, there is no escape. Okay? There isn't. Now, he makes a way for the remnant. He makes a way for his people. But they're still going to be in the judgment. But he'll grant them favor and help them through it. That's what he did with both Israel and Judah. But they still faced it. Look at Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were all captives. They were Jews, of course. And they were in Babylon. But guess what? Some of the greatest books that we have for prophecy and have for the Word of God are the result of this judgment. They were sent into captivity, and God raised up people like Daniel. And he gives us examples like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And this is the way God works. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her, the adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Now you see, you know, the thing of it is that all the pleasant things, the prosperity, that happens under the hand of the Lord. And it's easy to remember the days of old. And when America falls, that's what you'll have as memories. When her people fell into the hand of enemy and none did help her. And of course, the adversaries saw her and mocked, and they would mock. And even today, we have people that mock in America. And when I wrote my book back in 2004 called D-Day for America, it's out of print now. And there were a lot of people at that time that had plans for America. They wanted to see America fall. And today, it hasn't changed. There are a lot of people, even groups of people in America today, that want the America for themselves. The American Indian wants his land back. The Mexicans, they want their Mexico back. That was California, Arizona, New Mexico. Trying to think, there was five states back then. Mazatlan. You have the blacks who think they have a right to America themselves, so they want to get rid of the whites. Not all the blacks are like that. Racism, it's everywhere. And then, of course, you've got the Muslims. There's many radical groups today that want to take over America and rule it and have an American Muslim nation. Muslim states of America. That's what they want. And over the years, I've covered this from the radicals that are here. Now, Obama suffered them to live here and even brought some of them into the White House. The very ones that they won't tell you straight out, but you can find out. And there's a lot of people that are warning about the ulterior motive. So we can find a lot of people here in America today that would want America, that if a civil war ever did break out in this country, not to mention the civil war between the Democrats and the Republicans. See, when you have a nation that's divided, a house divided cannot stand. And so if the Roman Empire fell in a day, how long will it take us? Jerusalem grievously sinned, and she was removed. Verse 8. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully, or in an unbelievable fashion. People were astonished how fast Judah fell. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. That's right. The enemy was lifted up because the hand of the Lord allowed him to be. And see, whenever a nation falls like that, and this is because of the sins, you know, in the world, a nation begins to fall because of their morality and the way they are. And we have a lot of nations that despise America, and they see her sins. We have people that come here, and I talked about it on the Prophecy News this week. And that's how it was, from a Muslim who talked with other Muslims, and he lived here. And he found out that a lot of the Muslims that come here, even if they get rich, you know, they become wealthy and have a good life, they still hate America because she's unclean. See, the thing of it is, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's scripture. So the judgment here, it just divvies that out. It just tells you that, iniquity brings them down. Sin, it defiles a nation. And that's exactly what happened with Judah. And see, Jerusalem was the jewel, but it fell. And over the years, Jerusalem's had a lot of bloodshed. It's been capped. It's been sieged so many times, and it's been taken over. Dear God. Her filthiness, speaking of her sins, and when something is so powerful and big, and it reminds me of Babylon. In Revelation 18, Mystery Babylon, how she fell in an hour, and everybody stands aside and gasps at how much she fell. Now, remember when the Twin Towers fell and how that smoke wandered up? A lot of people saw a lot of prophetic message in that out of Revelation. And people were astonished that that was able to go on, that major towers were brought down. And what that showed us is that, you know, really, that was a warning shot off the bow for America, to the Twin Towers. The next time, you're not going to get off so easy. And then the time after that, we don't know how much time we got, but I can tell you, now is the day of salvation. It's also the day to repent. That's just all there is to it. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she has seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. Now see, that's the laws back in Leviticus, and it was instituted when they were putting together the tabernacle back then, and they wandered around in the wilderness. And it was brought forward into the temple when they created it, that if you're a Gentile, if you're somebody unclean, you cannot enter in. And of course, that's just like nobody can enter into the presence of God just the way they are. You have to come to the Lord, receive Him, and then you can enter into that. And see, even for Christians, you know, and if you're a Christian and you think you can go out and sin to holy heaven and just get in the presence of God all the time, you're sadly mistaken. You cannot. You can ask forgiveness, and you can repent, and you'll be there. But you can't just sin, and I can tell you, you try that. You continue to sin and talk and pray and do all that. You're going to be filled with another spirit, and you're going to be filled with no salvation, redemption at all if you don't repent of your evil and get rid of that. Because the bottom line of it is that there's only one way. God is a clean God. He's a holy God, and He will not, cannot, will not ever see sin come near Him. His presence is as a burning fire. They'll burn up. That's why you can't get. That's why even in the Old Testament, the people couldn't get near the mount, because He was a holy God. They would die instantly, because you can't. See, it's like taking the hottest fire you've ever had and sticking your hand in it. You're going to get burned. See, the thing of it is, if you want to cook a good steak, you need a good fire. I can put a steak, no matter how good it is, and I can put it on a cold stove top, and it ain't going to cook. I can stay there forever, and it ain't going to cook unless I take that stove, rip it out of my house, and put it out in the hot sun somewhere, and hope that somewhere the sun is going to find that, and going to, you know, after about 2 months, it might dehydrate enough where I could eat jerky. But I can tell you one thing, a fire. No. God is a consuming fire. You ain't going to get near Him. But through Christ and your repentance, instantly you can get into Him. It's through Christ. So don't think for a minute you can just go do willy-nilly whatever you want to. Now, see, that's how Aaron lost a couple of sons, because he went in there. They went in there and they did things against the law, and they died instantly before the Lord. And I got news for you, Christian. I got news for you, people. You can get away with it now, because you've got grace right now. But I'll tell you, you do something wrong, you get stubborn, you won't repent. When you stand before God, you're going to be cut so low so fast and wind up in the pit of hell, you won't even know what hit you. It is by grace, through faith, and you've got to keep yourself in the Lord as far as that goes. You got to cast off the works of darkness. It's active. And Israel needed to do some stuff too, and they didn't do it. And they found out, hey. In verse 11, it says, all her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now you see, that's the 12th verse of this, and I'm stopping in that little lamentation thing. But folks, can you imagine? See, that's one thing about lamentations. They acknowledge that they were sinners, that they had sinned, that they had fallen away. They acknowledge that it was the Lord that afflicted them. You read Ezekiel, you know, and they wanted them to, the refugees, to pipe and sing the songs of Zion. Well, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? We're not in Zion. We're not in Jerusalem. And see, the thing of it is, there's only one America. There'll always be one America. The America that I knew is gone. It's gone. There's some semblance of it left, but it is dying all the time. There's a new America. There's new people here. Obama saw to that, and he has a good crowd that backed him up. There's a new crowd now, new generations of Americans, new people that want other forms of government. They seek other things. They don't want the America of the old days. They don't want to see whites around anymore. They despise the forefathers. They don't acknowledge Christianity as the chief, blessing of this nation. They don't even see, we called it Judeo-Christianity because of the relationship of the Bible and the Jews that actually came into America to help. They don't even consider that anymore. You got a whole new crowd now. They're taking it another way. They don't want to go back. God help us. And so you can look back when this thing happens and you can remember the yesteryear, but you'll never have this nation back. And I've told people, I said, even if the Muslims take it over, it will never be like America was. There will never be another America. There will never be another nation like this nation that God has raised up on this shore, on this land, ever again. Once this thing falls, there will be pockets of people and there will be people attempting to be America, but it will never come back. Ever. And you can write that down in a book. You can seal it because it will never happen. And yes, you could very well have another nation take it over, but it will never be like this country was, ever. And so this guy in verse 12, he is sick to his stomach. And of course, the people are starving. They have no homes. Everything's been pillaged. And what they have left, they hawk it in order to get some bit of food. And of course, there's the chains. The Lord said, I'll put chains on you. One of the ways that they used to humiliate their opponents when they took them over was to strip them naked. And they would put chains on them. Sometimes they'd put hooks in their noses. And they would lead them away to humiliate them. And they'd be dirty, stinking, naked, being led away. God help us. Isn't a pretty picture, is it? You see, when you read something like this, it kind of makes you sick. You don't want this to happen. Now, see, there's a lot of preachers out there, and they'll tell you that, you know, we're going to bring America back. No, they're not. They might garner a reprieve, but America ain't coming back. And the division isn't going to go away. The hatred isn't going to go away. The house will not be united. Now, even if there was an enemy that threatened to take us over, yeah, that would unite the nation for a while, but then we could easily be conquered. And I can tell you who the enemy would be. The enemy would be a coalition of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. And possibly even Turkey. And there would be a pre-strike of nukes that would hit major cities in this country. Now you see, my book that I've written, the first book, Steal the Darkness, is a four-book series that's going to take and has taken Scripture and a remnant preacher, and you follow him and his people through this. And I do this for a reason. To get the word out. Because a lot of people may not listen to teaching and preaching, but they'll read a good book. But this book has the Word of God in it. And yeah, it has a lot of other things, but it does have the Word. And the Word is the Word. But it will go through a lot of these things of which I speak. And there's a lot of things I want to put in this book, in the various books. And we're going to be revealing things as we go. Why? Because we believe we need to do everything possible. God has given us the tools, the talent, and the ability to publish and write and to preach and teach. And we're going to use everything we can to preach the word, to teach, and to bring people to the knowledge of a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a purpose. I don't write books to get rich. Not many people do. The ones you see with million sellers are few and far between, folks. There's only five major publishing houses in the United States today. And those five are so tied up, and the amount of margin is so slim, they only have a limited amount of books they're going to do. And they're all going to be by authors that everybody knows. And they're not going to delve into some of the issues that I talk about. They just won't do it. Now, if I wanted to write a sugar plum book, a Christian fairy tale full of niceties, old fluffy, they'd buy it. But those don't save souls. People don't listen. They don't want to listen. So if you hear my voice, I pray that you have ears to hear. Joshua 1:10-18. Now, you know, Joshua is leading the gang now. He's the replacement for Moses. And, of course, Caleb is in the group, too. So Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now you see, I just told you about the judgment on Judah. This was the people before Jerusalem was ever part of their goal, part of their town, before the temple was built. This is in the beginning. They came out of 40 years in the wilderness, where God provided food, clothing, shelter, water, and they saw the miracles of God. By the time they got to Jordan, they were a fighting army. They knew their God, and they served him. Now, what do you think that the Lord wants the remnant to do? If you say pick up rifles and shoot people, that's not what he's doing. Our battle that we're looking at is not of guns and bullets, but of the sword of God, faith, and the power of the Spirit. The presence of God. And he goes on to say, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, now see, some of them wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan instead of in the land. So this is what he says. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall you return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave unto you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And of course they agreed to do that. And so they, the mighty men, went over and joined the army, and they passed over Jordan. But see, if you're a remnant today, if you're a true believer, God is telling you that there is a possession for you. And yes, we're going to get land. And you may have a house now, and you may have land. I want some land. I want to do some building. Want to put a place for the ministry, but that's not the land I'm talking about. There is a land. There is a promised land for us, just like there was a promised land for the children of Israel. The Lord is going to be there. Our inheritance in the end will be the earth itself and all the fullness thereof in the heavens. And we will be with our God, and he will be our God, and we will be his people. There is a possession. And you have to pass over now. There's a time of trouble coming like no generation has ever seen. And God is saying you need to pass over. Pass over. Now, while we don't have Jordan, we do have a lot of things. We need to pass over what we normally see. Everything we see before us, we need to pass it over and get the vision which God has laid upon us. He hasn't called us to struggle through this dark hour and just fall over the line of heaven and say, thank God I made it. He has established you and given you everything that you need. This is the God that took care of Israel for 40 years, and if he did that, do you not think he can take care of you for this little moment of tribulation and trouble which is coming? Even if it does come on America. Even if it does get overrun with enemies, and even if it does mean that you lose everything that you have, you will not lose anything, because in the end, God will restore everything to you and much more. God is calling the remnant out to say, come and possess and be possessed of my spirit and my promises. Do not fear your enemy and do not fear tomorrow. For the Lord is your strength and he has gone before you. The presence of the Lord is there. And you need to find the presence. You need to seek him with everything you have. You need to look to him and understand that God is calling you to possess and to pass over and not stay on the other side and hide and fear for what tomorrow may bring. For you will see the devil conquered. You will see him destroyed and all of his evil angels. Wickedness will be cast down and this world will be remade. And the heavens will be remade, and you will be remade, and you will live forever, and the former things will pass away. And you will have enemies in this time coming, and you will have challenges, and many will die. But there will be those who will possess. There will be those who will stand on the promises and see deliverance. There will be those who will look beyond the flesh and see the miracles and signs and wonders, and they will do great exploits for their God. And God will have a people, and he will have his prophets, and he will have the last word, even in the tribulation, even when the devil sits on the throne and declares himself as God. This thing that will do that will still not be able to overthrow God's plan. And he can kill the remnant, and he can kill all those who oppose him. But he will not extend his life and his dark plans beyond one fraction of an eternity's second. Because when God declares an end to this thing, it will be done. It will be finished. Just like Christ said, it is finished on the cross. And even in Revelation, it's finished. It's done. One of these days, it will be finished. It will be done. It will be completed. You know, Isaiah 1:9, it says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Isaiah 10:20 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such of that as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. There will be a remnant. God is a God of the remnant. He is a God of promises. And tonight you need to understand that. You don't need to fear. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to give up. You need to believe. Believe. Believe everything that is within you that God will make a way. There's no other, you know, there's really no other choice for you. Not at all. No other choice for me either. But I made the choice a long time ago. I had decided that I wasn't going to enter into tomorrow in fear, but with faith. And see, we're not the only nation on this earth that's going to be judged either. And there's plenty of others. They will all face the Lord. So we're talking to the remnant in every nation, every creed, every color. God is calling them out. He's not just calling Americans. He's calling his remnant. He's not calling church denominations. He's calling a remnant. Hear his call. Because he's calling right now. And it'll start with a little fire in your heart. The presence of God comes over, and you feel that liquid love. Seek him. God is the one that owns tomorrow. It's his. Doesn't belong to the devil. Tomorrow doesn't even belong to you, my friend, as much as you think it does. You see, you go to sleep at night, and when you wake up in the morning, it's God's grace that you are able to wake. Every breath that you take is given to you by the Lord. And all the heathen that continue to threaten and hate and do everything evil, those breaths, every one of them, are given to them, allowed them by the Lord. So they choose to live it in an evil way. And Revelation 22 tells us, he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. You can read it. Go to Revelation 22. However man chooses to live, God will reward. But he owns tomorrow. He owns your breath. He owns your soul. You think you own the land. You think you own your car. You think that this is your country. You think anything at all. It's not. It is, in the end, because of God, by God, and through God. Father, we thank you for your mercy today, and we thank you for those who hear whenever they do. Father, touch that one. You know who they are. Speak to their hearts and help them, strengthen them. Draw them to yourself. There are those who acknowledge that there's sin. Forgive them, Lord. They need your love and your compassion, your forgiveness. They're coming to you. Father, undertake, for you're the eternal God, and it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. For this word shall go forth, and it will not return void, but it'll do whatever you have commanded it to accomplish. So, Father, let them hear, let them understand. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. So you said that's the only choice we have. You know, that you're right. And why would you want another choice? You know?
Well, that's a good question. The other question is, then why do they seek other choices?
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I'm grateful to the Lord and thankful, so very thankful that He has opened our eyes to see the truth of Him and His Word.
Yes.
Thankful for Jesus, our Redeemer.
You know, there's nothing like a little bit of Lamentations to really make you feel thankful. Because when that book was written, the judgment was already over. Our judgment hasn't hit yet. The judgment has come in portion, but not in the fullest measure.
I don't even look forward to that. And I remember, like, the people in California and back east, and in your judgment, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we could but repent and truly change. But see, prophecy and the Word of God is against that.
Yep.
On a whole scale basis. God's going to have a remnant. People are going to get saved. We're going to see a move of God.
We are, and I'm excited about that. Thank God.
Well, whenever you have judgment and correction, people always draw near.
They do.
You know, they
look at 9/11. When that happened, a lot of people packed out the churches, but then after a while, they left because no more judgment, or I mean, no other disasters or tragedies. So they walked away.
Yep. That's true. Well, at any rate, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Yes, for Battle Lines Wednesday night. Kick off the show on Wednesday with the Prophecy News Hour.
It's hard to believe, but time flies. But I've got to get ready for spring, too. So I'm going to plant another garden.
Yep, that's right.
And so at any rate, we do have some plans that we want to get some land. And I've had plans that the Lord gave me for a prayer center. I've had that for probably 25 years. I'd like to get some land, and I'd like to build it and put it on there, along with a place to live. But, you know, I don't know if we have time.
Yeah, I know. You don't know.
Yep.
It's one day at a time.
Yep, that's true.
Yep.
So at any rate, we thank you for listening and joining us. Whenever you do, folks, look up to the Lord. Remember, He's in charge, and we do have a possession.
So, yes, we do.
Okay, say goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We truly appreciate you, and deeply grateful for all that you do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. Enjoy your Sabbath rest.
God bless. Shalom, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.